Hello and welcome back to another episode. If you've been following the story so far, you know we've been talking recently about the change circle in the seven C's. Now we're moving to the circle called confirm. Well, what is that about? I think start with the basic inquiry. You know, how are we doing? What's working? What's not working? What's getting in the way? And what would be even better if? So it's the, if you like, it's the inquiry about feedback, or as you'll see as I go through, I'm going to start to talk about feed forward. But whatever we call it, it's a critical conversation for individuals and teams and programs and consultants with their clients. If you want to reflect on, you know, the importance of doing this, just think about the counter examples. Have you ever worked with an individual who's not open to feedback, who doesn't seem to be interested in anyone else's views? I suspect they've got blind spots. I actually once had a line manager who not only wasn't open to feedback, he never gave anyone. So you just never knew where he stood on any subject of the day. There's a model called the Johari window. Johari, because it was invented by two consultants, Joe Ingram and Harry Luft. So Joe and Harry put that together, and they described somebody with that kind of very small arena. They're not giving very much away about them. You know, they said these people would have blind spots, and it doesn't engender trust. Similarly, if you look at teams that never have conversations about how are they doing as a team and what would be more productive for them, those teams can get stuck in that stage of unspoken conversations. It may not even get from forming to storming, but it's just going to get stuck and held back because people are really not prepared to confront any differences or emotions or concerns. And at the project level, we need to think about something called plan continuation error, which is where in any endeavor, we carry on with our plan, irregardless of evidence to the contrary. You know, we literally psychologically just don't see the big sign saying change course or stop. And perhaps we should be calling this phase not confirm, but it should really be confirm and correct if necessary. Confucius says, a man who has committed a mistake and doesn't correct it is committing another mistake. So we don't want to commit mistakes, and we do want to learn and improve and discover our potential. And so we know that soliciting and processing feedback is important. And you know what? It's another one of those conversations which I see as more often avoided or done badly than it is done well. I think feedback, a lot of people would see giving feedback or even receiving feedback as a difficult conversation. You know, the problem is with teams, they're often too busy doing the work to enable themselves to stand back and open the Pandora's box of what might be going on interpersonally on the team. As individuals, there can be, you know, a number of reasons where we don't want to be seen as critical of other people. We might be concerned about their reaction, or we might find people, if there's a power distance, somewhat off-putting. So we become inhibited about giving feedback or even giving constructive advice. People often say managing upwards is one of their hardest issues. And, you know, it's hard to hear advice sometimes from other people. We're very attached to our own ideas, and that can lead to a cognitive fallacy, a confirmation bias, which perhaps is at the heart of plan continuation errors. They used to describe Steve Jobs as having a reality distortion field around him. He just wouldn't hear naysayers. And, you know, that might be a virtue, but it can also lead to catastrophic errors. Now, you might say, well, Steve Jobs is right. Whenever you're embarked on a bold innovation, there will always be some resistance to change and naysayers and expert opinions. We know they're often flawed. So perhaps it would be better to go looking for data rather than other people's opinions. And we can take feedback from data. We can be using metrics to track performance. Again, we know that, but the reality is often those metrics are difficult to design, they're difficult to implement. It looks like additional setup work that's perhaps distracting us from the implementation of the change or the construction of the product. So for all these reasons and perhaps more, we don't see the real agility that you get from that cycle of build, measure, and learn. And I think at the heart of this podcast, I'm saying we absolutely have to try harder as individuals and as teams. Just on the subject of plan continuation error, let me share with you the story of Korean Airlines. Now, if I go back some decades, there were a number of well-documented near misses and actual disasters that involved that particular airline, and it became a case study because they researched it quite deeply. And what they saw, the heart of their problem was they'd hired their pilots, a lot of them from Air Force background, from single-seater fighter pilots. So these were very strong alpha individuals who were used to calling all the shots. And so these people had a bit of a tin ear to what was being said to them. And also their co-pilots were intimidated in the culture. There's quite a strong power distance. So often that the co-pilot could see the information and the metrics and the dials saying, this isn't working, or, they could see ice on the wings. But instead of assertively saying that and saying, change course now, or don't take off, this is unwise, they would say something like, oh, it's very cold out there. Oh, look at the ice on the wings. Now, they thought that they were sending feedback, but it was just heard as some observation about the weather that was not important to the pilot. So plan continuation error is carrying on with your plan regardless. If you're with me so far, you'll hopefully be agreeing that many of us need to do a better job here, and that this is a key conversational skill that unlocks potential opportunity, builds trust, and helps us to do a better job going forwards. I think which brings me to a key point about mindset. When we talk about feedback, often people get anchored in a past event, and you can get into really a post-mortem, what worked, what didn't work, but people start to dwell and focus on what didn't work and what went wrong, and that can easily degenerate into who's to blame or kind of what's wrong with them or what's wrong with us. And you know how that can set up the attack, defend, conversation, win, lose, dominate, avoid domination. And all of that stems from a mental frame where somebody is giving feedback and somebody else is the recipient of feedback. Now, I wonder if we can't just change that model. So instead of anchoring feedback in the past, how about putting the focus on the future? So how about conversations that are at their heart trying to get to what would be better, what's hindering us, and what would be better if, and maybe change that frame from give and receive to inquire and to share. So, you know, let's inquire jointly as to whether there is a problem or an opportunity, and let's work together. One definition of collaboration is shared problem solving in light of all of the information. Let me pass on some tips then about what that means in practice, where when we're engaging in those inquiries and those conversations. So when we are sharing information and putting something on the table, be very careful not to judge individuals or teams and not to move into blame. Yes, we can take as our data points, you know, events from the recent past or the current situation, but we should really be saying, you know, in this situation, this is the impact. It's very similar to the problem statement we talked about a while ago. So clearly state the problem and then move to asking, you know, how could we improve on this, or sharing some of your ideas. I think perhaps we should be doing it this other way. What do you think? What do other people think? And then if somebody is sharing, when we're hearing what's being said, I suppose we need to remind ourselves to listen actively, you know, not just to hear and move into defending the past, but we're listening for the possibilities of the future. We're not listening for agree, disagree, right, wrong. If somebody has an opinion, that's valid. We should be listening for what could we be doing better in the future? How could this help us to course correct? So react, don't respond. You know, first of all, make sure that we fully understood, ask questions for validation, clarification, validation, inquire into the quality of the data. And when that is understood, then with an open mind, start to think about, well, what are the options that are available given this situation and this other perspective that's coming to me, which I hadn't heard before. Maybe it's bad news. But absolutely, you know, don't shoot the messenger. As a consultant or expert change leader here, I really believe that we have an obligation here to be proactive because of the barriers we've mentioned and the awkwardness that other people can feel. So we want to be creating a clearing in which the conversations can take place and facilitating that. So within a team, you know, we're the ones who should be saying, you know, we've paid a lot of attention here to the progress against plan with the tasks. Let's just spend some time to discuss how are we working as a team. If you're looking for a process, we talked about collaborative intelligence and CIQ earlier, which absolutely gives everyone a voice, puts all the information on the table. Now, it's not always going to be the case where you're in control of the conversation. We go back to what people said about managing upwards being difficult. But even then, if we have information and important feedback to share upwards, that is a difficult conversation, and it's still one we need to engage in. So I would suggest perhaps just asking a question about, I have been having some thoughts about the current situation and the overall effectiveness of the program at this stage. And I think there's some opportunities for improvement. Would you be interested? Would this be a good time to discuss that? Even if what you might be leading towards is some feed forward about the behavior of the leader in question. So we're not saying that this is easy, but we are saying be proactive. I think one of my managers once said to me, and it was very helpful, she said, you know, Chris, bad news early is good news. And it's that sort of a mindset that can make life a whole lot easier here. And of course, it's not always bad news, although people tend to jump on the negative, as we were saying. It's equally important to regularly confirm achievement and value delivered and value added. One of the most successful consulting teams with our clients in my firm we work with over the years, they developed a mantra, and they said you just need to regularly feed the beast. So what they meant by that is every week or every 2 weeks, signal to the client what's been achieved and what is the value that's been added. And from a sponsor perspective, you might think that no news is good news. Now, I'm not sure it is. I mean, no news is, I wonder what's going on. So we're talking about being proactive. Signal achievement and success. And that's equally true for the wider organization. There'll be a lot of people who sit in the middle of the adoption curve who are going to be very interested in the early adopters and their experiences. So any quick wins, any positive feedback, you know, share that, celebrate every success and share it hard. Now, in order to do that, you need data. Project managers work with data the whole time, but that tends to be data around plan achievement, red, amber, green status, achievement of milestones, and so on. But earlier, we've talked about the power of business outcome and business outcome focus. So by seeking out evidence of have we succeeded against the outcome is really important and probably not practiced enough. To tell you a short story, we were doing some communications consulting work with a senior business leader. We helped to design and script one of these big town hall events. But what we did after each is we pulled together a focus group of the participants, and we used that focus group to get feedback on, you know, what did you hear? What was your response to what you heard? Were there any questions you had that were not going to be answered and weren't answered? And what would you like to hear more of next time? And so we built that feedback in. Having captured the feedback, we could then put that back into the process and adapt and improve those communication events. And it turned out to be really, really insightful. So I think there is a key message here, and that is to build feedback gathering activities into your operating model for the program. Now, I know I've used the term feedback many times in the last few minutes, but I really would like you to take away the idea of feed forward. So the emphasis on future growth and the power of these processes to help us all to grow and to identify and discover our potential. Just going back to the Johari window where we started, what that model says is, you know, the bigger the open arena, the more disclosure, the more feedback, the more we identify what was previously unknown. So it's through these very conversations we access our potential and maybe come up with things that were just not in our minds at the outset. In breakthrough thinking, there's a very similar thought. There's an expression that breakdown is the gateway to breakthrough. You know, and it is. If we respond in these conversations, if we respond constructively and not react through fight or flight or avoidance, you know, we respond through solving the problem collaboratively, getting to even better if. That's my closing thought for now. So until next time, thank you for your interest. I hope this is helpful. This is Chris. Goodbye.